Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
RTE Radio 1.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Now, there are many, many issues arising from the murder of that beautiful teenager, Anna Criegel. The two boys, as you know, boy A and boy B, were both sentenced to long terms of imprisonment or detention yesterday. But one of the issues that's raised and has been raised by our listeners is a comment made by Anna's mother, Geraldine, during the course of the trial, where she spoke about the bullying that Anna endured. She spoke of how her adopted daughter had endured, quote, endless and ceaseless bullying at the secondary school where she was a first year student. She had tried to make a friend at school but hadn't succeeded. She had no close friends apart from her cousins. And later in evidence, her father, Patrick, said she was different and found it hard to make friends. We had heard about, this is from Geraldine, we have heard about counselling sessions she was having because of the bullying and other issues. Now, Margot contacted us. Margot, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. It was this. How are you?
Good, thanks. It was this aspect of this horrific killing that prompted you, because your daughter was in a similar situation.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And I mean, her killing is just the most shocking thing, and has impacted on me and so many people in the country hugely, and it's all come back again. But I remember at the time hearing about the mother and about the fact that she had suffered such horrific abuse at school and bullying, and that they had tried and they had gone to the school. And I don't understand why nothing happened, and why the poor child had to go through that time, and you know, and I just think it's unacceptable. And that was the thing that struck with me in particular as an educator, as a mother. So my own daughter, I'd spoken to you before, she had it was a positive experience of dealing with bullying.
Great,
we had
great.
Lived abroad for many years, Africa and then China. And then my daughter came back into third year last year now, and because of that, she was maybe seen as a bit different, and she suffered quite a bit. Now, the school were very good all of the time, but
okay.
It was only when she had this online, oh my gosh, and she was clever enough. So I've learned some strategies that maybe other children and parents could. She was clever enough to take a copy of the Snapchat, the threats. They were personal threats.
Screenshot them.
She screenshotted,
yes,
that's
yeah.
the word.
Yes,
she
yes.
screenshotted them, personal threats against her safety. If she leaves the house, she'll be beaten, she'll be taken down, and F all the way through. And this was like a chat then that extended to many others in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned from this then, yeah, this is the second thing, is that she was most upset, and she did eventually tell me, but she would not allow me to go in.
Okay.
And then I realised it's very difficult for the child being bullied to actually report as well, because feel they'll be victimised more. But some of the others reported to the deputy, and then she allowed me to contact. So I contacted the school, and the deputy head teacher, say it was about 9 or 9:30 in the morning, and she said, would your daughter be willing to give me the names? And so I went back to her, and she said, okay. So she gave me the four names. And within about 2 hours, maybe less, the deputy head teacher had phoned me back. She had contacted the parents.
Wow.
They were appalled, and they had to apologise to Roisin, and they were threatened with not being allowed to do transition year, which is a major message to go out to the others. And then it turned out that it turned around for my daughter then, because these particular children, I think, were bullying others. Maybe they didn't even realise the harm it was doing. But otherwise, I dread to think what might have happened if my daughter hadn't showed me that. Every year in Ireland and elsewhere, children are committing suicide from online bullying, and it can be relentless. But the schools, then when I talked to other friends here, they were saying, oh my God, the school is amazing. Other schools, we go and they say, oh, here's the policy and we'll follow this procedure. Meanwhile, even if sometimes even hours or days can make a difference. Like,
of course it can. And Marco, you mentioned that the deputy principal contacted the parents. Did she demand that the parents come into the school? How did she communicate the gravity of the bullying episodes?
Obviously, very seriously, told them they would be not allowed to do transition year. They had to apologise. So I don't know what the details were, what she did, but it just shows that the school says they have a zero policy and they implement it straight away. So there was no time lag or my daughter waited for a week or 2 weeks.
So you were happy with the way the school dealt with the bullying?
Extremely. Okay.
Because at one stage during the trial, I think Geraldine said that they were on the family and his parents were unhappy about the way the school dealt with it. Now, we're not saying, and no one did say or allege during the course of the trial, that the two boys concerned, A and B, were part of a group previously that had bullied Anna. But the issue of bullying, the endless and ceaseless bullying of Anna persisted in the secondary school where she was a first year student. Stay with us, Margot. 5-1. How's your daughter now, by the way?
No, she's good. She's
great. Great. Yeah. Brilliant. 5-1, double 5-1. And she was around the same age as Anna when this was happening, wasn't she? 14, 15. Yeah. Joseph, good afternoon.
How are you?
Good. You're listening to this and your reaction to the whole issue of bullying and how it's handled in schools.
Yeah. Joe, my experience with bullying started when I was very young. I was bullied because my mother was the teacher in the school. She was the principal. And life was made hard on me, to say the least, even out of school. Where guys, the other kids would try to beat me, but never the fact that I stood up to them, I could take care of it myself. But that's not the case for every child.
Nice.
It was a hard experience. Exclusion was the big thing. Go to mass on a Sunday morning, the lads would be all lined up in a seat, turn around, oh, here's Joseph coming, don't let him in. Push out to the edge, you'll be on your seat on your own, stuff like that. But then introducing other boys to me to try to see could they beat me up, and it didn't work. I found from a very, very early age, standing up to bullies is so important. And that stood with me through all my life, even going on to secondary school. That didn't happen because I wasn't known. My parents, my mother's occupation wasn't known. I was accepted straight away. I thought I was in a different world.
And did you tell your mother, I presume from what you're now saying, it was primary school?
No.
Did you tell your mother? No.
I had a double-edged sword in school. I had another teacher that was bullying me in school, maybe a couple of years afterwards, and he hit me every day for any reason he could think of. And I did tell my mother and father, and my father went to the teacher and told him the same thing would happen to him that was happening to me if he didn't stop. So he did stop. But he actually turned it back then, psychologically bullying me.
And why do you think he was? Why do you think he was physically beating you relentlessly?
No, he wasn't. No, he didn't beat me relentlessly, but he would give me a slap every day for some reason.
Why?
For any reason. I don't know. He had a bad demon in his head.
Well, you said your mother was your mother principal in the school. She was. You just told me that. But was this a scunder, so to speak, against your mother?
I don't know what it was. I was too young to try and figure it out at the time. And then as I go on, there's no point in trying to figure it out because the man is dead.
Okay.
So what is
the message you would give to the parents of bullies, for example?
The message I would give to parents of bullies is to stand up to. Well, before I give you the message, before I give you that answer,
okay,
I'll give you another experience I've had then with one of my children who was bullied in school as well. And because I was bullied, if I see bullying going on, I actually step up and I stop it, no matter who it is. I got in trouble in school over it myself in later years. But my daughter was being bullied.
Right.
So I approached the parent. We did go to the school. The school did absolutely nothing. I met the ringleader's father and I put it to him to stop it, or I would do something with him. And it stopped the next day. But now that's a unique experience.
But what, given that we're talking, what did the school do? Even if the answer is nothing, yeah, okay. But what did they say?
What did they say, Joe? Well, my wife dealt with the school. She went in because if I went in, I wouldn't control myself as well as she would have had. Mm. But she told them, explained what was going on, and oh, that's just terrible. We know, but nothing was done. Absolutely nothing. You know, they said they agreed with her that it was terrible that what was happening to the girl, but they did nothing. There was no result.
Mm. And how was your child?
Yeah. Did not want to go to school.
Yeah.
And we got her counselling.
Yeah.
Now, when she moved on to secondary school, that was great. She had good friends there. That changed. She was an extremely bright girl. And because she was so bright, that's why she was bullied. She was just very, very smart. Now she has a really good job now. She has good friends. She's very, very well thought of in her job. But, like, the counselling did help.
Stay there for a sec, Joseph, and we'll try and improve your line somewhat. Margot, how difficult was it to persuade your daughter to submit the names of the people that were bullying her?
It took a while. It took a while, and she would not have done it if some of the others had already texted her to say they had gone and told the head teacher about this whole chat that had been going on for a few hours the night before. So I don't know what I would have done, actually, whether I would have gone against her and gone and given the names. And so that was the reason why, which is why I believe that some sort of campaign to encourage the bystanders to stand up, maybe a campaign, It Could Save Your Life, or I think maybe something that would bring out maybe a law in memory of Anna. An anti-bullying law, some legislation, because at the moment there's nothing. I mean, even the schools can't act unless you give them names.
That's a good point.
And even then, what can they do? Like, if there's no legislation, if there's no punishment for the bullies, what can happen? It's really serious, and we're worn out from hearing it. It's just breaking my heart. Like, so many children committing, basically their lives are gone. Like, you know, if you do something, it could save a life.
And there's no law.
There are laws that can be taken, but it could take up to 2 or 3 years, and it's not specific. Like, do you remember there was a case of an Irish girl that was who committed suicide in the US a good number of years ago and it led to law. Yeah, so we need to bring in a law, and it would be good to have a law in the name of Anna, I think.
Yeah.
For there has to be some punishments for these children and for the schools to act as well, because currently they're following the guidelines, which is have a policy, have procedures, and then unless you have a very, I suppose, a school that is really, really acting on zero policy and knows that if they don't act now, when a child comes forward and says they're being bullied, that's it. Something should be done. The children should be suspended for a while until it's dealt with. Stop their suffering. It's terrible. And then if they see that, more children will come forward.
And as you say, your daughter now is
fine.
She's admired because she stood up to them.
She's admired. She stood up to them, and God knows how many they suffered before she came on the scene.
Joseph,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Joseph, how did you discover, and how did your daughter show that she was being bullied? How did it affect her?
How did she? She just came home and told us. Like, she would be very open. She'd always have a great relationship with all of the kids. She would tell you exactly what was going on. You know, and that's.
And how did the bullying affect her? I presume she was anxious and.
Anxious, yeah. Did not want to go. Like, she'd be just, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. That was the main thing. You know, she wouldn't. Did not want to go.
Yeah.
It didn't. There was no real bad side effects. It was just, you know, the crying in the evening time saying, I don't want to go to school tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, as Margot said, it seems that bullying is easier to deal with if hold on to the screenshots, hold on to the evidence.
But that wasn't, at the time this was going on, there was no mobile phones.
Okay.
For, you know, this is going back 10 years.
But the child...
But I... Yeah. The, the fact that she held on to the screenshot, she was very, very smart, very, very brave.
Yeah, yeah, and that the child was prepared. It's a big to name the perpetrators and allow the school to pursue the names as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but and your daughter is obviously she's older now.
She's older now, and she's over it, and she's confident. And you know, it was a major worry for us as well. You know, like, you know, you need your children to grow up and be happy through their childhood. Yeah, it's so important.
Absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Know, and then they can learn and they can improve themselves. You know, but like if you were being bullied and you go home, same as an adult, say if you can't make your mortgage in for, and you've banks breathing down your necks, and you go to bed at night, you don't sleep. And when you don't sleep, that problem metastasizes itself. It gets bigger and bigger bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gets worse and worse and worse, even though it's the same when you wake up in the morning, it's back down to zero.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you can imagine a child going through that.
Okay, say what it's Joseph. 51551 Joe at rt.ie. Jackie Fox. Jackie, good afternoon. Margot just mentioned the whole thing about online bullying and harassment. Unfortunately, tragedy did visit your home because of harassment and bullying. It was your daughter, Nicole.
Yeah.
And she died by suicide in January 2018. So
yeah.
Condolences. What was the lead up to, Jackie? Obviously, without mentioning any names or.
Yeah. I won't mention any names.
Yeah,
First, at the start, Nicole was a bubbly, funny, friendly child. You know, she was just a normal child. She had loads of friends. She was cheeky as well. And we had we have a mobile home down in Corktown. We spent all our time down there, you know, summer holidays, midterm, and, you know, we grew up on the beach and she learned how to jump off the pier and crab fishing, you know, and everything was great and, you know, with no problems until when Nicole reached about 17, 18, she, you know, like every other girl, she was dying to go out to our first nightclub and... When she first went out to a nightclub, things were fine. There was a group of friends who she thought were her friends. She was having fun at the start, but then everything turned out wrong. Then she, the people that she thought they were her friends start to turn on her. They were jealous of her because Nicole was lively and bubbly. She used to dress up and... They started to say then, the state of what you're wearing, or are you going out in that? Look at the state of your face, and you know, slowly started to put her down first. As time went on, it started to get a lot worse. They ended up, you know, simple things like she'd put her drink on the table and they'd not swipe it off and go, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that." Mm-hmm. But then it got worse. They'd be tending to be dancing on the dance floor and they'd give her an elbow in the face or the chest.
Oh my gosh.
So as time went on, they put cigarette butts out on her feet. They used to throw cigarette butts at her and she'd had little burn marks. Mm-hmm. They knocked her into the corner of a table one time and she dislocated her hip, just covered in bruises. She was pulled down the flight of stairs in the nightclub by the hair. She couldn't do anything right. She was beautiful looking and, you know, she would get attention from fellas and these girls didn't like this at all. And they would call over the fellas and start whispering things in their ear and trying to turn them away from her. Every time she went out, which was only once a week, because she was afraid. And I used to say to her, "Nicole, don't go out, stay in, don't." And she goes, "But ma'am, I'm 18, you know." And all she wanted to do was dance and sing and have fun, like any normal teenager going out. But she wasn't allowed to do that. But then it also went online. Now, it was physical abuse and online at one stage, but then it went really hard online, where they made up a fake page and they said that they were going to beat her up so bad and put her on life support machine.
And in the meantime, Jackie, were these people she'd met through school or through the community?
Through the community, yeah. The community. She it was mostly through the nightclub, really, that she'd start to meet them.
And how did you, I presume you felt powerless?
Oh, absolutely powerless. You're up against a load of, and these weren't kids, these were all 18, 19, 20, do you know what I mean? They weren't school kids or, it started to go online then where they would send her pictures of a noose and they would tell her to go die, hang yourself, slit your wrists. Everyone hates you. You'll be better off dead. No one wants you. In 2015, in May 2015, Nicole took an overdose. And I thought that was my worst nightmare then. Mm-hmm. We spent four nights in hospital. And when Nicole came out, I thought it would have stopped then. Mm-hmm. But these group of people start saying, oh, Nicole took an overdose because of me. And then they'd say, no, it wasn't. It was because of me. And it was like they were claiming a trophy on who actually made her take an overdose.
Now, one would have thought, well, first of all, what you're saying is horrific. But one would have thought that the sequence that unfolded, that nobody wanted to unfold, that your beautiful daughter did inflict harm on herself.
Yeah.
That if a bully or any human heard that and they thought for one moment, 1 millisecond, that they had something to do with that, they would desist. But you're saying they persisted rather than desist.
It got 100 times worse after Nicole's overdose. It got really, really bad. That's when the online bullying got really bad every day. They started up a WhatsApp group and everyone joined in, except obviously Nicole wasn't invited in. And by the time Nicole heard what they were putting up, sure, it was spread all around the place. Snapchat as well was lethal. They send a Snapchat that would only last 5 seconds or 10 seconds, but what they were putting up, you know, the noose and everything was just horrendous. From what went to my beautiful, bubbly, funny, friendly daughter, she started to stay in bed. She would cry going to sleep at night and she would be crying waking up in the morning. I've often lay in the bed with her, crying with her, powerless to do anything for her. She said to me, she started to self-harm. She started to dig her nails into her skin, into her legs and into her belly really deep till she bled. And I didn't know about this at the time until it went onto her face. She said to me, because things were getting worse, she says to me, "Mam, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to live." And she said, "The only reason why I can't kill myself is because I don't want to leave you heartbroken." And to hear your daughter saying that to you is just, it's sickening. I used to try and get her out of bed and, you know, bring her shopping or, try and build herself up a bit. But it just got worse. And as she went down in her confidence, these people kept going and going and going. Before she'd go out to the nightclub, she would get ready and she'd put her makeup on and then she'd throw up in the bathroom. But she'd come down the stairs and, you know, she'd be physically sick at the thought of going out, but she did want to go out, you know, she wanted to be normal. She used to stand at the door then and she'd go, "Mam, take a picture of me." And I'd take a picture and she'd have a big smile on her face. And she said, "I'm not going to let these people know they're getting to me." Yeah. And she'd go down and she'd dance with a smile on her face. And this kind of made it worse because they didn't think they were getting to her then, you know, so they kind of, they'd go harder and harder, you know.
And was there any, Jackie, was there any confronting them? Or their families or their... Was there any...
No, I went down to the guards over the threats online and the fake page that they made. And because Nicole had turned 18, she had to make the complaint, the statement, not me. And she said, "Ma'am, I can't do that. I'm too afraid to do that because they'll only get her worse." You know, so she didn't make any complaints. Then on the 18th of January, I had left the house at 3:20 and I dropped my son to work and went on to collect my 14-year-old son from school. And at 4:20, we came home.
Okay, don't give us any. You found Jackie in a seriously ill state because she had self-harmed, unfortunately, and she died. How long after that did she die?
She was in intensive care on the 18th of January, and I'm going to say lucky for us, we had 2 days to say goodbye. And I told her on the last minute before she was gone, I just said, "Just let go, and that no one can hurt you anymore. They can't touch you anymore." And told her how much I loved her, and she died then on the 20th, on the Saturday morning.
And it's her second anniversary this coming January. It's only about 12 weeks away. And you're campaigning, Jackie, to get a new law. Tell us about the new law.
I was shocked to hear that when the guards came back to me, they said you can charge people with physical abuse, but that there was no, it wasn't a criminal offence for anyone to annihilate anyone on Facebook or send threats because... The technology wasn't updated as it was going along, and there was no law. So Nicole passed away in January, as I said, and in February I started to get meetings with TDs in the Dáil. No one was really listening at the start, and I set up a protest outside the Dáil, and then we did a march through town, which hundreds of people came out.
Right.
But then one day, the turning point then was I got a meeting in the AV room in the Dáil.
Okay.
And there was
the audiovisual room, where you can...
Yeah, and there was, to my surprise, there was a good few TDs there from all various different parties.
Okay, great.
I told them the story and I went right into detail of when we found her and what happened. And one of the TDs stood up and said to the rest of them, "Instead of working in separate parties, can we all work together on this?" So I was, I thought I achieved something that day. And since then, I'd had other meetings, and until I was finally put in the right direction of Brendan Howland. And I had a meeting with Brendan Howland, and he has... there's two things I wanted. One was to make cyberbullying a criminal offence.
Okay.
And when I say Nicole was bullied, it sounds so childish. She wasn't. She was tormented and tortured like many other kids out there. And I said to Brendan, there's two things I want. One, to make it a criminal offence for these people to continue to get away with it. And two, to call it Coco's Law. After my daughter, she was called Coco because when my nephew was 9 months old, he couldn't say Nicole, he could only say Coco.
And have you any idea, or through Brendan Howland, have you any idea, because he's a long-term legislator, but has he any idea how you would draft such a bill?
I have the draft at home. It's all drafted up. I'm working with a detective chief superintendent in Harcourt Street, and the bill, the draft is going to be sent to him. Myself and the detective was going through the draft, and he's happy with what's in the draft. So at this stage, I got an email from the legal parliamentary advice people saying that they are going to call it Coco's Law. That there's no reason why. So that's a bittersweet moment. But
and when did you get? You're talking about the drafts people for the legislation in the Parliament. When did you get? When did you get that confirmation, Jackie, that they were going to call it Coco's Law? Hopefully, it'll get through quickly.
Yeah. Well, when I had the meeting with Brendan Howland, a week later, I got that confirmation that they were going to call it Coco's Law. Now, I've been on the radio a few times with Brendan, and he has actually even brought her up, the harmful harassment communication law, also known as Coco's Law. So, you know, I was happy with that.
Well done.
So, at the moment, it's in the final part of stage three. Now, stage three is the longest part.
Yeah.
But anything after that, then there could be 4, 5, or 6 will be done in the one day. Do you know what I mean?
Stage three, they go through it line by line, effectively.
Yeah, and then you know, amendments and you know, but
And Jackie, can I ask you? You mentioned you were coming home, and Coco was your caller, to use her pet name.
Yeah.
Your other 4 siblings. How are they?
I can't mention what happened when we walked in. Yeah. Can't I not know?
No, except that the other children saw what happened. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of them did. My 14-year-old son walked in and seen it. And he's devastated. I've often hear him crying in the middle of the night, and I'd go into him and he'd be going through the phone looking at selfies of himself and his sister, you know, and looking at all her pictures. And he said to me, he'd go down and play football with his friends, even up to last week, and he'd come back and he'd say, "Mam, I can't even play football." He feels guilty if he's going out and enjoying himself or in any sort of way, you know. He is getting help for it, but we're all destroyed. Her nanny, her granddad, aunties, uncles, we're just all left completely devastated.
Okay. Jackie, stay with us, and God rest Nicole. But her campaign and your campaign hopefully will be concretized very soon. 51551. We are talking about one of the many issues raised by the murder trial that so many people have been following because it's just so horrific. A by A and by B of Anna Criegel. And the one issue that was raised, not germane, wasn't alleged, but one issue that was raised very strongly by Geraldine, Anna's mother, was how her daughter had endured endless and ceaseless bullying at the secondary school where she was a first year student. She had tried to make friends but hadn't succeeded, and The issues went on, and at one stage Geraldine said they were unhappy with the way that the school had dealt with the bullying, and that prompted calls from Joseph, Margot, and Margot was making the point that her daughter was being bullied, and she screenshot and she went to the school, as we understand Anna's parents did as well, but the school acted with incredible urgency. And they had it dealt with within 2 hours. It obviously took over the allegation and the fact that the 4 boys were named. Their parents were called in. They were the sanctions were outlined to them if it didn't desist and apologise immediately. And apparently, as Margo said, that completely knocked the idea on the head. Let me bring in Anne. Anne, your son has been bullied.
Yeah, he's been bullied now for the guts of 3 years since he went into third class.
And what are the school doing about it?
Absolutely nothing. I've worn a path up and down to the school. I've sent in tons of emails. They're saying they're doing all that they can, but basically they've done nothing. They've had little chats with some of the kids in question.
Yeah.
And, of course, they deny it. And then later on, when some of the other kids are away from them, they will back up what is happening to my son. And they say, oh, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it, we'll keep an eye on it. But, I mean, there was a suggestion that I move him to a different school for his happiness. So he's been to counselling, et cetera, and we worked through all of that. But again, it's not every kid that would be able to talk to their parent go and do that. So we went for counselling with him, and he came through the worst. He understands it's not really him, it's others. But that doesn't help you when they're being physically, psychologically, and, you know, emotionally abused. It's awful. And then you're at home worrying, waiting to see what way they're going to come out of school, whether they're happy, whether they're sad, whether they're crying, whether they're going to be sick. And it affects the whole family. It's awful.
And what were the schools saying to you, Kate, when they said, would you not move your child who's a victim?
Yeah, they wanted to villainise the victim. Oh, I wouldn't even tell you. I've actually stopped talking to them. I said, if you need to speak with me, you must do it in writing from now on, because I was accused of making things up and everything and misquoting people. So I brought in an independent witness with me and they wouldn't speak to me. So thankfully, I've been lucky. I've managed to get the Ombudsman for Children to investigate this. Now, where it's going to leave me, I don't know. I mean, my son will probably be out of the school at that stage, but my younger son is there. And you see, he doesn't want to leave because he has his pals in his class, whereas my poor little fella doesn't, because the classes get mixed up when they go from second to third. Mm-hmm. So all of his pals were in a different class.
Yeah.
He was in with a clique that were just vicious. That's the only word I'd use, because when someone turns around and tells your child to go and find a hole and set themselves on fire, you know?
Stay with us, Anne. Kate, good afternoon. Kate is in Clonmel.
Hiya.
Your observations. Go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, well, I've been working with HR, and I think in education, and a lot of teachers don't have the skills to do a proper investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the government in Ireland have to do something regarding this bullying situation in schools. It's absolutely intolerable. There should be a zero tolerance policy completely. I also think if the schools don't act, that they should be sued for not appropriately dealing with a criminal offence. It's essentially, and I want to say, I think Coco's mum is amazing. If this law gets through, it will benefit thousands of children all over the... But the first thing is, I don't think mobile phones should be allowed into schools, full stop. No mobile phones. Because if the government stopped paying themselves such big salaries and actually paid for every school to have iPads, children wouldn't need mobile phones in school.
Okay, well I know it's I don't. I just don't know how you stop that tide of mobile phones.
Because zero policy. Because if you can't trust parents to educate their children not to bully, they can't be responsible for having a mobile phone. They're not responsible enough to have a mobile phone.
But in the case of a school, and Margot earlier on, probably the best example, where there was allegations of bullying, the school immediately went into emergency action.
Exactly. And that is what happens in the workplace. If you have an allegation that someone's been bullying, an investigation started immediately. As long as you report it, instantaneously the disciplinary process starts.
Kicks in,
And any good school worth their salt will investigate something so offensive instantly. It's not acceptable to let it run and run. It's not acceptable. And no parent should accept that from any school.
But to say to parents that you should sue the school, that's...
Well, if they're not dealing with it. The parents are having to deal with medical bills. Parents are having to deal with psychological medical bills. That should be billed back to the school or the Department of Education.
Mm. Yeah, but you'd have two chances of getting to pay it.
Yeah, you might have Bob Hope and no hope. But at the end of the day, if parents don't pull rank on schools who are not operating to the correct standard, which is to deal with bullies...
And I wonder, the beginning of the year or the introduction to the school that a lot of parents go to in the evening, is bullying front and centre of that, and how what to be wary of, either your child being bullied or your child bullying?
If I was a parent going to a school before I change my child to another school or go into school, the first policy I ask for is a bullying policy. And then I'll ask them, what is the time limit within what's the time range they deal with an issue that arises? So if it's 24 hours,
okay,
48 hours.
And the Department
of Education should make that an absolute policy for every school, that they have to do it.
Hmm.
And if the Board of Management don't act, the government will find the school. Do it that way around. That the government will find the school. Because you can't have people in schools in an unsafe environment. That is not acceptable.
I know.
It's not acceptable to have children who cannot defend themselves with people and their behaviour is indefensible. They shouldn't. People who are going in schools and behaving like that, they interfere with the learning process. The whole point of school is that it's a learning process.
Yeah, of course, if these people
are interfering with that, they have no place in that system. They should be dealt with by a support system for teachers. Teachers have enough to do without having to deal with these types of situations. There should be a completely different support system that instantly gets into action as soon as an allegation like this has been made.
Absolutely, which is what Margot said. Let me bring in Mary Shield. Thanks, Kate. Mary Shield, good afternoon.
Bother.
Sorry for holding you, Mary. I know you're a psychotherapist in the South East. And you say accompanying children who are enduring bullying, insofar as you can rank these levels of pain or benchmark them, but from the descriptions we've been given so far, Jackie's description of Nicole Coco and her lying in bed at night, weeping uncontrollably, being held by a mother and a mother feeling powerless, is that a glimpse of the pain that victims of bullying go through?
Good afternoon, Joe.
Yeah.
If I had spoken to you before any of your previous speakers, all of these people who have spoken so eloquently, and I find it very, very painful to listen to them, I would have been trying to say what they're saying on behalf of their children and on behalf of children throughout this island who are being bullied. It's unacceptable. Your last speaker, Kate, I mean, there has to be a policy of zero tolerance. I suppose as a psychotherapist, in different circumstances, if this were happening to a child, I would be obliged under law to make a report. And I find myself very helpless in these situations where there's supposed to be a school policy in the school where this child is going to be protected from this kind of abuse. And let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
It is abuse.
And is there intervention in schools, insofar as you can generalise, Mary?
In my experience, there are extraordinarily effective systems in some schools, in my region.
Yeah.
And in other schools, I can give you just a summation of some experience I've had with regard to bullying. The bullying itself was so damaging, it destroyed individuals. But what compounded it was the lack of intervention on the part of the authorities within the school. That it was reported. That was more damaging to these now adult people trying to deal with their abuse. It's a double abuse.
Okay, I'll come back to you after the break, Mary, because I want to ask you, like, the schools that do deal with it well, how do they proceed? 51551 Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Dealing with issues raised by listeners as a result of the trial for the two boys who killed Geraldine Krijgel. And one of the comments made earlier, a statement made earlier in the trial by Anna's mother, Geraldine, that her daughter had endured endless and ceaseless bullying at the secondary school where she was a first-year student. And that question, Mary Shield, who's a psychotherapist in the South East, good schools, how do they deal with allegations of bullying?
Margot's point, when Margot said her daughter had the wisdom to screenshot, without even screenshots, there shouldn't have to be screenshots. They should investigate. They should take action. Mm-hmm. Anne's case, where Anne, I am so familiar with parents in Anne's position, where they are trying to prove, like in many cases where there are victims, it's the onus is on the victim to prove that they are being injured in these situations. That ought not to be the case. It ought not to be.
Well, what is? I know it ought not to be, but what is happening in the schools that don't take it as seriously as other schools?
They're not adhering to policy. They are not protecting all the children within the school. Mm-hmm. Why are they need to be answerable as to why they're not following their own policies. They have a written policy. They're obliged to have a written policy. But how is that policy carried out? How effective is it? Mm-hmm. You asked a question earlier, when parents are putting their children into school, do they assess the school policies with regard to bullying? I wish more parents would. I wish they'd really put that front and centre for the care of their children. Because we're dealing with, this is epidemic. This is epidemic.
Is it, yeah?
But the point is, you're dealing with an abuse now, but you're setting a person up going into their future. They're going to workplaces where bullying happens. Their confidence is undermined. There's a very high suicide rate. But apart from that, if people don't get to that point, they live with this sense of less than good, not good enough.
Yeah.
It's no way to, but certainly for a child to live. A child, as Kate said, it's an educational facility. They should be glowing in it, growing in it.
Yeah.
Not going home, that man who spoke earlier, I didn't get his name, listening to his child, he talked, going home of an evening and going through the night without sleep, knowing they have to face it the next morning. Seriously, that ought not to be happening.
Stay with us, Mary. Sharon O'Kelly. Sharon, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. And what's your experience, Sharon, please?
I have a son and he's actually 19 now, and also my nephew would have experienced very similar to my son. Okay. Now, he's given me permission to obviously speak to you because at the end of the day, if he doesn't speak up and hides underneath a stone for the rest of his life, he's not going to make a difference to hopefully other kids' lives. But for over 10 years, now I know 10 years is a long, long time, he was severely, badly tormented at the hands of bullies. Now, I mean really badly tormented. Now, sometimes when people hear about bullying, they think that the child is going into school and the child is being slapped or punched or whatever that might be, like a physical bullying.
Yeah.
But, Joe, when a child is being isolated and it gets into their mental health and starts to break down their spirit, that child doesn't see their purpose in life. That child doesn't think that they're worth anything to anybody. Sometimes they don't speak up because they think, who is going to listen? And when I was growing up, I remember that if something happened with me or my friends, my mother, I can't say my dad because it's normally the Irish mammies, that went to another mother, maybe had a cup of tea and sorted it out. What I feel is wrong is the parents, some parents, not all, I don't want to be held accountable, but some parents are not approachable for their Jimmy or their Mary that's causing torment to another human being.
What do you mean? What do you mean they're not approachable?
Don't want to hear it. Because when I had situations with my son, and I may, on some circumstances, try to approach another parent to say, listen, this situation is happening. I was basically told, no, it's not mine. He didn't do that. They never allowed me to explain, why would I be going to somebody, wasting somebody's time, if my child wasn't coming to me? Now, my child wasn't coming to me every willy-nilly, this happened. This was over a space of time that I seen this child's spirit being broken down, not speaking in the house, not eating, completely no speech. waking up at night, the anxiety, mm-hmm. not wanting to go to school, his physical appearance in himself was being broken down, didn't have any outlook. You could be sitting in the room from Joe and he wouldn't speak from one end of the day to the other. Now, other people will say that's a child's personality, they're going through puberty mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But as a parent, we realise, we see the alarm signs. So you're walking the path, you're going up to the school, up to the principal, we're going to sort it. We take these individuals in, they have a little chat with them, and then they go off and do it again. They have this system in primary school, a buddy chair, that if you're feeling down, you're going to sit in a buddy chair. Like, seriously, these kids are causing damage to other children, and people are coming along and saying, they don't know what they're doing. Joe, they do know what they're doing. They do know what they're doing, because they're not only sitting at home like one individual, right? One individual is not sitting at home and saying, I'm not sitting at home now today and I'm saying, I'm going to persecute Joe. What I'm doing when I'm the bully is, I'm talking to such a person, I'm telling this person about Joe. This person's telling someone else about Joe. So already I'm building a little army against Joe. And I'm coming back with Joe, you're on your own. And you're thinking, why, what's happening here? But isolation, like what Jackie Fox said, isolation is one of the biggest factors of bullying. Being left out, wondering, what did I do? What is wrong with me? Why can't I fit in? And as us parents at night time, having the dinner at night time, going into the bedroom, tapping at the door, everything okay? You get the moodiness, everything is fine. But for me, I was like, no, everything is not fine. Try to talk to me. But he wasn't talking to me all of a sudden. He was basically opening up a little bit. Little bits was coming out. But I seen warning signs. I was back and forth to the school. I had parents say to me, friends of mine, why didn't you take him out of school? I said, hold on a second. The way it was, if I was sending him to a different school, I was afraid it was going to follow him, because he was like, Mom, they'll come to find me. So you're trying to do the best that you can for your child, because you're thinking, well, what if I take him out of school and it gets worse? And I can live with that. So that's what you're thinking. Do you know what I mean? But I know in my own heart that my home, from the bottom of my heart, Joe, my home and my whole home life was wrecked and shook because of the absolute devastation that it brought to my child. Now, he is in college now, and the first day that he was in college, okay, two individuals waited for him to have lunch. He rang me. He said, Mama, what are they waiting for me for? I said, probably asking for something to eat. He said, but that's not normal. He was paranoid. Why are they waiting for me? What do they want? Because he's never been included. Neither has I. And he's often said to me when his cousin wasn't in the class, say he was out for a day, he said, it's this silence. Nobody's speaking to you. Like, put it this way, my son went on a biology trip, okay, mm-hmm. to somewhere for the Leaving Cert, okay? Yeah. He walked around for ecology. He walked around Dublin Zoo on his own. Four teachers, Joe, could see my son on his own and never intervened and said, why are you on your own? When I brought it up to him at the parent-teacher meeting, you know what they said to me? We didn't see him. I said, funny, what's wrong with your eyesight? He walked by you. And you know, okay, that they could see he was sitting in the, you know, the big cafeteria, the big restaurant in Dublin Zoo. He was sitting on his own eating. They were sitting with a group of teachers, colleagues, and all the bullies were all together. Now, if you were in the canteen in RTE today and you seen one of your colleagues sitting your own, there's a group of 10 of you together, would you not say in your own heart, oh, what's he doing over there? And now, maybe that person wants to be okay. Go over and say, hey, do you want to come and join us? Nobody did that. Now, I believe it was up to a teacher to intervene and say, are you okay? What's going on? What were you on your own for? Nobody asked my child. And my child rang me from Dublin Zoo and he said, I can't do this anymore. I mean, he said to me one night, I'm not happy here. And I said, in school. And do you know what he said to me? No, in this world. In this world. And I had the worry, because you know, like, people turn around and say that suicide is very high in boys. It's equally high in girls. But as the other lady said, it is an epidemic. My own daughter attended the World Anti-Bullying Summit. She's 14. She just turned 14. City Hall this year. It was held for DCU. Professor James O'Higgins invited my daughter up. She wrote and composed her own song, which was released this year in the hope of stamping out bullying, okay? It went everywhere. And she, as a 14-year-old child, she's still a child, is going the length and breadth of Ireland and above the UK, emailing people, emailing schools to try to make a difference as a child. She said, "Ma'am, I am a soldier in the trenches. I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. They do know what they're doing." She said, "Bullying doesn't see a colour. It doesn't see a creed. It can pick on anybody. And adult bullying is even worse. But people are getting away with this. People are turning around and saying, oh, we're speaking to them. We're dealing with them. They're not dealing with these individuals. And they're not being held accountable." Like that poor child, Annie Kriegel, she died because she trusted these two individuals. She was so lonely. This child had no friends. And she thought, God, they want to include me. That's possibly what she, that's why she went there that day. And her mother knew nobody called for her because her mother would have been like me day in, day out, Joe, no phone calls.
And she
like,
this
my child doesn't have Snapchat, none of this.
Bybee had never called for Anna before either.
No, they never called. And I would be literally, I'd be so passionate, Joe, about bullying. And what I mean, so passionate. Like, I'll be honest with you. When my daughter comes in from school, every single day, I put the kettle on. She doesn't drink tea, I drink tea. I say to her, who are you sitting beside today? She'll say X, Y, and Z. And say she says to me, such a person, now it's never happened, but if she said to me, such a person was in the class, but they were sitting on their own, I would say to her, what did you do about it? Now, I don't portray my kids to be angels, but I can guarantee you from the bottom of my heart that I will make sure that they will stand up if they see somebody being bullied and say, you leave it out. Because if you stand by, you're equally as guilty as that bully. If you shrug your shoulders and say, I didn't know what to do, I couldn't say anything, seriously, that's actually pathetic.
Okay.
What is the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? Seriously. Yeah, people need to stand up and say, instead of hiding behind and say, I didn't want to say, she didn't want to get involved, I don't want to know about it. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Okay. People need to be accountable. And I'm sorry, and if your child is persecuting another child and you're being brought in and brought into the school, that parent, if they're not dealing with it at home and not looking after their house with their child in it, they need to be held accountable.
Okay, stay with us, Sharon. Sharon, okay.
Thank you.
Well, and Joe at RT.ie. Amanda, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Your eldest son was bullied.
Yeah, listening to Jackie, it's just, it kind of brought it back to me. And at one moment listening to her, I thought, you know, God, that's awful for her. I what a terrible thing to go through. And then I realised, you know, we went through something similar, not as bad, but, you know, equally scary as a parent. But my son was bullied using smartphone and iPad and an anonymous Snapchat account. So nobody ever knew who was behind the account, and even to this day nobody has found out. And I wanted to say that, you know, the point that was made about giving kids iPads isn't a solution, taking the smartphones out of the school, because you can take photographs and videos and do all kinds of things with images in school as well. And that was one of the power plays of this bully. They remained anonymous but continued to say, I see everything that happens in school. They set friends up against each other. They threatened. The most, I kept a note of things, and I didn't remember I'd even done that, but one note was in relation to a time that, unfortunately, my son badly broke bones, ended up in hospital requiring surgery, and was obviously getting messages from friends wishing him well. And I quote the message that I saw the very first time I got to know about this anonymous account, reads as follows: everyone wishing you well. People die every day all over the world. No one gives a F about you. My son blocked that account as it happened on my advice, but that didn't stop there. It continued on and on. It leaked out into areas of his life, such as soccer, where he was training with his friends. In the end, you know, it was so insidious that the person tried to make out that my son was the anonymous account by posting a message revealing themselves as being, citing where he lived, who his siblings were and their, you know, where they were in the family, mm-hmm. exactly who he was trained by in soccer. And, you know, it was just relentless. There was threats made in relation to it. That's when it got very serious. And then there was a kind of a slight inclination of me thinking, is this also grooming? Because lots of messages of threats would have at the end of it. Can I trust you or do this or else? And in the end, it just escalated to the point that, he was so, I took him completely out of his activities and I brought it to the guards and I brought it to the school. I screenshotted the images off his phone that had some of the worst and most vile threats in them, which also got him, as Jackie would say, they came harder on him as a result. And he didn't want me to intervene for that reason. But the guards told me, because the social media platforms are hosted in America, that unless there was interstate or intercountry cooperation, mm-hmm. that there would never be a way of finding out who was sending those messages, unless he was actually, you know, physically attacked. Now, they did tell me that, well, I looked it up myself, and there's a solicitor in Dublin, Clark Jeffers, and they have a fantastic info note on their website on cyberbullying. And the quote that opens it actually is, things were bad enough when bullying mm-hmm. was confined to the playground, but now it can follow you home in your pocket. And that was from Rory Quinn. Yeah. It gives a legal definition of cyberbullying, but it also says that under the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act, a person is guilty of an offence if they directly or indirectly basically make threats towards you. But it is extremely difficult to prove when the person at the other end is anonymous. The school were horrified. They could see that some of this bullying was facilitated by the devices that were part of the school. They did supposedly a sweep of a cross-section within his second year, and they found nothing. Now, the pressure that was being laid on this person by my activities, I would say, meant that in the end, they had to go to ground, and they went to ground by closing the account down in a most vile way and opening it up again under a different name.
Yeah, a trick, another rule.
Another trick, yeah. And then it went on and on and on. We went home to visit my family one weekend, and it followed him all the way down there, because I suppose if you have your location services on, then that person was able to, or through other friends, know where we were, and then threatened various things if he didn't do various things. So, I mean, this year he did his junior cert as a result of the pressure of I would suggest, all of the above. He left us a note, and you know, he referred specifically to the experiences of second year and, you know, the fact that he saw us mm. acting, but really, effectively, we did nothing, because that person is still out there. And reopening accounts over and over again and using the technology at their disposal to torment, I mean, they're not gone away.
Amanda, where are we now in your family?
Well, we have very strict technology rules in our house.
Okay.
And we don't allow them to take their mobile devices into their bedroom. Okay. They have phones. There's three of them, and they're all in secondary school, and they have phones, but we take them off them at 9 o'clock at night, and they're not allowed them in their rooms. But I mean, it is relentless. Unfortunately, they have iPads as their primary learning tool in their secondary school.
Why do you say unfortunately?
Because they have been used as a form, they have been used inappropriately to, well, we were talking about the Anna Creagel case. They have been used to access porn. Yeah. They have been used to take images of parents, of people, without their consent, and then they walk out the school with that device. Those images and those videos are on that device, and that child can do whatever they like with them. I've spoken to parents whose children have had images taken of them in school, filters attached to them and then posted on social media to attract the most horrendous commentary. And, you know, that it's just constant, relentless. And I think, where are we? I think we are at a place where adults need to take responsibility.
Okay.
To say that mobile phones are allowed in schools, there are plenty of jurisdictions in the world where mobile phones have been banned in schools. And, you know, I know my kids give out to us when we are strict about technology, but in a way, I think they are relieved. And I think children would be relieved if parents did the responsible thing.
If there was agreement, out of the policy, was that was the policy of the school. Say what is Amanda, 51551. And a lot of people want to talk about bullying and also the issues raised from the Anna Creagell case. Alice, good afternoon. You say bluntly, move your child. I did. The school were no use.
Definitely. For the child's sake.
Yeah.
Look, it was going on a long time. She wouldn't leave her room. She was crying constantly. I went to the school. They spoke to the people involved. And then they used to wait for her to come out of school outside the school gates.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached the school again, and I was told because it was outside school property, it wasn't their problem. I put her on a bus and sent her 10 miles away. She'd done a brilliant junior cert, a magnificent leaving cert, and she was never happier.
Wow.
It's a town school, and I think towny girls are a lot more vicious than the country children. Country children, I don't know, she'd just gotten happier out there.
Yeah.
I think it's depending on where the kids are from, where they're reared.
And when you move school, did you speak to, say, for example, to the principal of the
school she was going to? I did, yeah.
Yeah.
They knew the story and they took her in and she made friends immediately. She made a great circle of friends.
And is that because of the principal or the policy of the school or the way
I think the school policy.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
The school she was in, once it wasn't happening in school, they didn't want to know about. And I said to her friend in the school at the time, you know, why would she not help her out or stand up for her? She said, because if I said something, they'd start on her.
Yeah.
You know, so move the child for the child's sake and the child's safety.
Okay.
I've done it and it's a success story.
Okay. And again, condolences to Geraldine and Patrick on the death of dear Anna. Amanda, Alice and the people who were trying to get on, apologies, we'll continue tomorrow. 1850 715 815 joe@rte.ie. Fergus Sweeney produced and Ray Darcy is next.